But we've been talking about made in his image, and this theme came about by some words that I heard in my heart, best in class, and I've just been sharing along that line or that theme of we're made in his image and likeness. We have his nature in us through being born again. But you've been made in the image and likeness of God in the sense that he is three-part, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and we are three-part. We're a spirit. John 4:24, he said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're a spirit. If God is a spirit and I'm made in his image and likeness, the real me is the spirit. And we need to always remember that God's word, he said, you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of my mouth. And Jesus said that my words are what? Spirit and truth and life. So the word that we receive is spirit, and it does what? It nourishes my spirit. It nourishes my spirit. It's food for my spirit. So we need to remember that the words that we speak and meditate on are spiritual. And just like God in the beginning spoke and it was, and he created with the words that he spoke, our words create when we speak. We speak and things are created. They're put into motion, you could say. And they're creative. Well, some people say, well, I don't know about that. But you create an atmosphere when you speak. You can speak fear, and you can create an atmosphere of fear. You can speak words full of anger, and you can create an atmosphere of anger and turmoil. You can have joy, and you can speak, and it can create an atmosphere of joy. Your words are creative. So we're made in his image and likeness, so we are God-like in that sense. And that's exactly what Psalm 8 says. This is the Passion Translation. It said, compared to all this cosmic glory, why would you bother with puny mortal man or be infatuated with Adam's sons? Yet what honor you have given to men created only a little lower than Elohim, that would be God. So we're made in his class of being, and we're made just a little bit lower than him, nothing higher. And it says, crowned like kings and queens with glory and magnificence. You have delegated to them mastery over all you have made, making everything subservient to their authority, placing earth itself under the feet of your image bearers. All the created order and every living thing of the earth, sky and sea, the wildest beasts and all the sea creatures, everything is in submission to Adam's sons. Everything. Lord, your name is so great and powerful. People everywhere see your majesty. What glory streams from the heavens, filling the earth with the fame of your name. So God has put his creation is special for him. God's creation is special in the sense of what? He has made man in his image and likeness, and he's given them authority. He gave Adam authority over everything he made. And so what happened? We know that Adam, he did what? He missed it, and that authority then was transferred to Satan. And that's where we have in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:4, says Satan, who's the god of this world, has done what? Blinded the minds of them that are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. So we know from Colossians, when it talks about we've been delivered from the power of darkness and we've now been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, so what was lost in Adam has now been what? Reestablished with the body of Christ. Satan's power has been broken. It's been broken. He has no more power. His power is broken. The blood of Jesus was shed and speaketh. And he is what? Defeated. But the only thing he has is he has deception. He wants to deceive people into think he's so bad, he's so powerful, but he's defeated. And so what was lost in Adam has been reestablished in the sense that we can use our authority in Christ, or we can turn it over to Satan and let him run roughshod over our lives. So we have been given what? Dominion and authority, what? In Christ. In the name of Jesus, we can use that authority. So the power of darkness has no authority in the earth unless we give it to them. They don't have authority. The body of Christ is here, and we have authority in Christ. So as Adam stood in the beginning, so the church stands today. Just the same way he stood in the beginning, today now the church stands in that same place of authority. In Christ, because it's Christ that defeated him. So isn't that a wonderful thing to know that we have dominion and authority in Christ? We have peace with God. But one of the things that I wanted to touch on this morning is one of the things that's becoming apparent to me is that, and I'm sure you also, is that in Matthew 24, it talks about the dominance of sin in the earth, and he says, and Jesus said, because of iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold. And where I started seeing a little something different this morning was that we need to know who we are in Christ. We're made in his image and likeness. Jesus, and during his earthly ministry, he always professed or spoke of who he was and who he was connected to. And we need to be doing the same thing. And so we're made in his image and likeness, but you're going to be put upon or pressured in this life with things that are ungodly, and you need to know who you are and what you stand for. And so as we walk through this earth, I'm telling you, the devil will use people to get up in your face and to challenge you. But they're not really challenging you, they're challenging the one that's in you. Oh, I tell you, this becomes so apparent because we need to know where do we stand? This isn't about your opinion anymore. Well, I think this or I think that. No, what does the Bible have to say? And the Bible's very clear that Satan has come to do what? Steal and to kill and to destroy, but he has come to do what? Give us life and life more abundantly. So abortion would be off the table, wouldn't it? That's not life. Murder's not life. So people that want to dibble dabble and do all this kind of stuff and question certain things, you need to know what God is for, and then you need to stand with God, right? That's just putting it simple. And when you're challenged, they're challenging what you stand for. And you don't have to fight with people. You just say, well, I don't believe that. I don't stand for that. I stand for this. And this is the piece I wanted to just touch on a little bit this morning, just briefly. And I want to read this in the Passion Translation, where Jesus is sharing, you know, we have John 14 and 15, 16, and now he's about ready to go away. Here's John 17. John 17, and starting in verse 11, I'm going to read down through verse 23. They'll put it up on the screen, but this is the Passion Translation. And it says, Holy Father, I am about to leave this world to return and be with you, but my disciples will remain here. This is the love of God, I'm telling you. So I ask that by the power of your name, protect each one that you have given me and watch over them so that they will be united as one, even as we are one. Whew. I wonder, you know, these are the kind of prayers you step back and you say, are we praying like that for our children? Are we praying like that for people? People that I've come in contact with or you've allowed me to know, am I praying like that for them? And it goes on, verse 12, while I was with these that you have given me, I have kept them safe. How? By your name. Huh. By your name that you have given me. He gave us the name. So we can keep people safe by the name. And then it goes on. Not one of them is lost, except the one that was destined to be lost so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I am returning to you, so Father, I pray that they will experience and enter into my joyous delight in you so that it is fulfilled in them and overflows. I have given them your message, and that is why the unbelieving world hates them. There you go. This is why the world hates you. And the more you stand for the message of Christ, the more the world will hate you. It says, for their allegiance is no longer to this world, because I am not of this world. I am not asking that you remove them from the world, but I ask that you guard their hearts from evil. See, this is Jesus praying here. For they no longer belong to this world any more than I do. We're not of this world, and we don't belong to it, and we don't belong to the one that is pushing the agenda behind the scenes. We belong to Christ. We're no longer of this world and the agenda of this world. We're of the light. We've been delivered from darkness. Hallelujah. In verse 17, your word is truth, so make them holy. How? By the truth. So he makes us holy, he makes us clean through the word. That's why Romans 12:2, be not what? Accustomed or associated or related to this world. Be ye what? Transformed, how? By the renewing of the truth. It's the word that will change your thinking, change your opinion, so you can stand separate from the world. Otherwise, if you keep thinking on the world's way, you as a Christian will act like the world. But we don't want to act like the world. We want to act like Christ. We want him to be seen through us. Amen. So it says here, verse 18, I have commissioned them, to represent me. Not the world. So he's commissioned us to represent me just as you commissioned me to do what? Represent you. So Jesus, when his disciples said, show us the Father, he said what? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's commissioned us to represent him. So if they want to know, well, show me God, you could say, well, you can see him through my actions. Oh, that would stir up an interesting conversation, wouldn't it? But it's the truth. Huh. Verse 19, and now I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice so that they will live as fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. You can see here, Jesus dedicated himself to God's purpose, right? And I'm not saying, you know, we can have this discussion, but I believe that when we dedicate ourselves to him and his purposes, that it has an impact in your house and your family and who you interact with, because they'll know who you stand for and what you stand for. Verse 20, and I ask not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through their message. That's us. That's me. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. So Jesus prayed for us here, eons down, thousands of years down, that we would what? Be one, even as he and his Father were one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. Yeah. So when we join together and we operate in unity and in love, we will experience the same unity and connection that he had with the Father. That's why the devil doesn't want the church to operate in unity and in love, not just here, but with the church collectively. He doesn't want us to do that, because then there's unity, there's the same, as this translation said, the same, they're joined together and they'll experience the same unity that they enjoyed. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you've sent me. For they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. Whew! My, 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 my. If you ever think that God doesn't love you, you need to get saved. Let me read that verse again. Verse 23. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. How are they going to see that? Through us. It's God operating in and through us, and they're going to see something different. Hallelujah. So when we talk about made in his image and likeness, this is right to me right here where it lands. John 13:34. And this is a New Living Translation. It says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Let me back up. I got ahead here. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Put the emphasis wrong. Your love, verse 35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So we are made in his image and likeness, and he now resides in us. And it's this love that he has for us that is to be displayed. And the reason I'm sharing this is because the devil is pulling out all the stops to get people to just say and do things that can put us, you know, it's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge your faith. It's going to challenge you. How will you respond? Do you know who you are? Is the love of God burning in your heart for people? Because they don't know any different. They don't know. It's like that young lady that said, I have everything, but there's something. This is what she said, there's something missing. And that's where the world is. If they don't know Christ, there's something missing. Galatians 5:6, this is the Amplified Classic. Says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So your faith has to be activated and energized and expressed by the love of God. So it's your love. I'm acting in faith because I love you. See? I'm acting in faith and doing something. I'm believing God for something because I love God and I want to see his kingdom expanded for people. And that's faith activated because of love. And we love each other. And again, you're going to have to love people in faith. What does that mean? It means you're going to have to do some things that your mind and your flesh are going to go, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. I don't like them. I'm sure Jesus sits in heaven and there's a lot of stuff we do he don't approve of. But he loves us regardless. And it's no different. He can't change. He must honor his word, because if he didn't, he would basically self-destruct. He must honor his word. So what he said, he must honor. So it's the same thing for us. We're made in his image and likeness. So what we say is key. And our words, we've shared this in the past lesson, our words is our faith speaking. And some of us have gotten in trouble because of what we say. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. It says, and this is the King James, then we'll read it in the Amplified Classic. It says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He dwells in me. I'm now his house. He's taken up residence where? In my spirit. I like this in the Amplified Classic. It says, do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, now this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth or writing them, well, we could say the church in New York, the church in Nanuet, the church at Redeeming Love Christian Center, do you not discern and understand that you are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually? So where his body, his temple. And this temple has got his nature in it. He's living in it. So now I need to do what? Yield to him. I need to let his nature, it says, if I be lifted up. Well, that means his nature needs to be lifted up. And that you have to make a choice to do. Every time we go in life, we're going to have decisions to make. We're going to have choices to make. We're going to speak words. What are we speaking? What are we thinking? Is it like Christ? Am I operating like I have the mind of Christ? And so this, I wanted to just bring this briefly because this topic, it just seems to be the more you look at things in this world. You look at the news, you look at things going on, and it's like, man, there's a lot of hatred being expressed and a lot of anger being expressed and a lot of doubt and a lot of fear. And where's the church? Is the church praying for the lost? Are we praying for those? Are we operating in the love of God? And we're going to be challenged and we're going to be faced with difficult choices and decisions to make. And people who've in the world, if I don't stand along with something, I mean, even in the news, I'm hearing, what's this term they're using? You're a Christian nationalist. What the heck does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means they want to divide people up into little things so we're not unified. That's the game. That's the point. It's to get people to say, I don't believe like that. I'm against you. Rather than being unified and saying, Satan, I bind you, the church takes its rightful place and authority and comes against it. It's meant to divide. It's meant to cause people to doubt in who they are. Well, maybe what I believe, this is where people go. They go, maybe that isn't what God meant in his word. Oh, no, that's exactly what he meant. He said God made male and female. And that's what he meant. So you're going to be challenged, but we need to do what? Walk in the love of God where people are concerned. And, being made in his image and likeness, we're going to have to do what? The scripture is very clear in Romans and Galatians and Hebrews. It says the just shall do what? Live by faith. But my faith is energized and activated and expressed by the love of God. But I must live by faith. And then Hebrews, I'll just read this in the Passion Translation. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and then verse 3. It says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation or the substance needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. And I like this next verse 3. It says, faith empowers us to see. I just stopped right there, and I got stuck on that. Because it continues, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke in the invisible realm, gave birth to all that is seen. But I went back, it says, faith empowers us to see. So by faith, we can see things that the world doesn't see. We can see like God sees, because he now lives in us. And so we can see, I can choose to see an area changed. I can choose to see someone saved and say, I decree that they're saved and born again, even if they're living crazy. Faith empowers me to see someone changed and living differently than they are. And it's the love of God that stirs my faith to do that. Right? So this is what God is wanting the church to operate in and walk in. That we walk in the unity of God, the unity that he's already given us and the glory that he's given us. So I just wanted to share that without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's not possible. So the love of God has already been shed abroad. We just need to do what? Stir it up, yield to the love of God, and walk in it. Yeah, just walk in it. Yeah. I'm telling you, mark it down. Things are not going to get lighter or brighter. It's getting darker and the heat's being turned up, but we shine brighter. That's why we're here, so that we can shine, that the love of God can shine through us. Just live your life. It's like this guy that was at the men's fellowship yesterday. He was just living life. He's not perfect. He blows up. He gets upset. But there's something that his daughter saw that said, you have something that I don't have. He's not perfect. Neither are we. Just live your life with people. Love them. Pray for them when you get opportunities. And just be a blessing to people, and they'll see something in you that they don't have. You know, I remember when I worked, when I left corporate America just many years ago. I remember, I had a team of programmers. I did computer programming, and I loved it. I enjoyed it. And still, in some ways, still do. I just like that thing of creativity and programming. But I remember leaving, and when I left, the other directors, I had a team of programmers. We all had a team, and they said something. They'd been watching me for years. I didn't know it. And they said to me, you know, you get upset about things, but you don't curse. And it was the cursing that was a witness to them. Not that you didn't get excited or angry about something, it was the cursing, because everybody cursed. And they said, but you don't curse. What is that? And that was a witness to them. Are we perfect? No. Do we miss it? Yeah. But in settings, God will use you and open the eyes of people to see something different in you. And you go, wow, I didn't know they even looked at or saw that. That's God opening the eyes of people to see something, and that's your opportunity to share the love of God with people. And man, I'll tell you what a harvest we have, isn't it? What a time. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let that sink in and meditate on that a little bit. But we're made in his image and likeness, and Jesus prayed for us that we would be one even as he and his Father were one. And experience the same unity that he had with his Father. Ooh, boy. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that the word received will work in us like a seed. And the ground is important. We thank you, Father, that some seed fell on the wayside, some fell on stony ground, some fell on ground that was full of thorns and thistles, but then some found fell on good ground and produced some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And we believe, Father, that the word sown into our hearts will produce an abundant harvest. And we thank you for reaching people, Father, that are unreachable in the world's way, but reachable through us, through Christ. We thank you for the love of God that works in our hearts, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Well, before we dismiss, I do want to, I guess they can send, I know there's a group leaving at 12:30, I think Minister Esmond said. They're going to camp this week, and so we're going to pray for those campers that are going so somebody can go and let them know that we're about ready to, we're winding down, and they can bring the campers and counselors in. We'll pray for them as they go. And but if you're here today and you have not made a commitment to Christ, or you've not given your life to Christ, then this is an opportunity. If you're watching online, that opportunity is extended. But if you would, just a simple prayer is you just are believing and confessing what the Word says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, which says that you believe in the Lord Jesus and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, because his resurrection was my resurrection from the dead. And so if you would just say this simple prayer, Father God, I believe today, right now, this moment, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Savior, and I believe him and ask him to come into my heart. I believe he was raised from the dead. I believe he shed his blood for me. And I thank you that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me of all unrighteousness. And I now decree that I am saved. If you said that simple prayer and you meant it, let us know. You can let us know now. We'll pray for you, give you some free information. If you're watching online, just get in touch with us either by email or write us, call us, and we'll send you some free information in Jesus' name. You know, last night I was reading, or early this morning, I was reading something by Charles Capps. He was a great teacher. He's in heaven now. But he was sharing this story about our spiritual authority that we have. And he said, the only thing that Satan has is deception, and he'll deceive us into letting him use our authority that we have. And he used this story. It was a true story. He said this woman who was married wanted a deeper relationship with the Lord. And she said, Lord, I'll give up anything for a greater relationship with you, a more intimate relationship with you, except my husband. Meaning, she's not giving up her husband. But I'll give up anything else. And then she went further and said, okay, Lord, I'll give up my husband too. And he said, not long after that, her husband died. And he said, she, with her own words, I mean, the scripture, he said, is very clear. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So he said, we can use our words and give Satan authority in some areas of our lives that we need to be conscious of. Use your words. Yeah, you submit to him, and God is in us. He'll show you those things you need to let go so that you can have a greater walk with him. If there's something in the way, it's his responsibility to tell you. You're not going and giving up things that the scripture is saying no. So he was just using that example of how we use our words. We can either walk in the authority and exert power over darkness, or your words can have darkness operate against you and use your authority.